christened after the home country of the slaves who helped build it. It was notorious for being dangerous and was even named the bloodiest in the South in the 60s and 70s. Infamous for having high prison death, guards brutalizing inmates, and several instances of rape. The inmates there were pushed so hard that in 1952, 31 of them severed their Achilles tendons in protest. The guards at Angola in the 70s were all white, and the prisoners were segregated. Wardens looked the other way, while the stronger inmates sold the weaker ones as sex servants. Things got so bad that a new warden, C. Murray Henderson, was hired to make changes. On the night of April 17, 1972, things got even more dangerous as a new guard named Brent Miller was found dead in one of the dormitories. He'd been stabbed 32 times. Days after Miller's murder, four suspects were identified: Albert Woodfox, Herman Wallace, Chester Jackson, and Gilbert Montgut. Woodfox was the alleged ringleader, so he was tried separately. Robert Hillary King, another inmate at Angola serving time for armed robbery, was also allegedly indirectly linked and was placed in solitary confinement along with the other accused. Testimony was given by a repeat sex offender named Hezekiah Brown, who was serving a life sentence. He claimed he was making Miller a cup of coffee when the men came in and stabbed Miller to death. Brown, who was 66 at the time, claimed he fled after he was not harmed, and based on this account, Woodfox was convicted for the murder in 1973. In the 1974 trial of the other men, Wallace was convicted, Montgut was acquitted, and Jackson decided to testify for the prosecution after he was apparently promised a reduced charge. Under pressure to help secure a conviction, Warden Henderson pledged to get Brown out of prison and later lobbied to make it a reality. This deal did not become public until two decades later. Brown's sentence was commuted by Governor Edwin Edwards in 1986. Robert Hillary King, Albert Woodfox, and Herman Wallace, who were all at Angola for separate armed robbery convictions, were placed in 6x9 cells for the murder and remained there from 1972 until March 2008, only leaving their cells for an hour of each day. These men came to be known as the Angola Three. Wallace and Woodfox were part of a crew of socially conscious Black Panther Party members who challenged the order of the system and encouraged inmates to challenge the way they were being treated. The men organized prisoners to build a movement within the walls to desegregate the prison, to end systematic rape and violence, and for better living conditions. They organized multiple strikes as well as sit-ins to further their cause. Their radical ideals and empowering message did not go unnoticed and may have contributed in some degree to the way they would eventually be treated in the Miller murder. They were viewed by administration as disruptive, with the warden even seeing their ideologies as dangerous to the prison status quo. In 1980, an award-winning prison journalist named Billy Wayne Sinclair was honored by the American Bar Association for a story about inmate Irving Life Brew, who was killed after trying to stop a prison rape. What Sinclair did not write for fear it would hurt his chances of release was that his friend, Brewer, had earlier confided that he, in fact, stabbed Miller. Brew described Miller as a casualty of war, who had discovered a plan by a couple of militant inmates to kill Uncle Tom Black prisoners. This cannot be taken as empirical evidence as to who the actual murderer of Miller is, but there is no denying that the evidence the men are being held on is weak at best. Brent Miller's widow, Lynette Verrett, was approached by Billy Mizell, a legal investigator and author, with even more shocking evidence that the justice system may have imprisoned the wrong men. What he told her was that a bloody fingerprint found at the scene of the crime did not match either of the men convicted of the murder. This meant there was no physical evidence linking them to the crime. Robert Hillary King was released after 29 years in solitary confinement after his first conviction was overturned and he pleaded guilty to a lesser conspiracy to commit murder charge. He has since written a book on his life called From the Bottom of the Heap, the autobiography of Robert Hillary King, and has been featured in specials about his experiences, as well as trying to raise awareness for his comrades who are still incarcerated. Woodfox is still fighting for his freedom. His murder conviction was overturned a decade ago, but he was retried and convicted in 1998, based again on Brown's earlier testimony, which was read into the record because Brown had died. Woodfox's attorneys are asking a federal court to re-examine his case. In his deposition taken October 22, 2008, Worden Burl Cain explained why he opposed granting Woodfox bail and removing him from solitary confinement. Asked what gave him such concern about Woodfox, Cain stated that Woodfox would want to organize and rally up the other inmates. He also stated that even if Woodfox were innocent of the murder, he would still want to keep him in solitary because he didn't want him to practice his Black Pantherism and organize the young new inmates. He claimed that Woodfox would just cause all kinds of problems and give him chaos and conflict. With no concrete evidence and no reliable witnesses, it is a wonder that Woodfox and Wallace are still being imprisoned for Brent Miller's murder. Several individuals and organizations such as Amnesty International have called for a re-examination of the case as well as a release of the two men. As of the time of this recording, none of these have been successful. I am Abdul Yusuf, contributing journalist for CHRY 105.5 FM.